Last Sunday was a very heavy, heavy, emotionally draining service. In some ways, I want to apologize, but I don't really need to apologize for that. It just was emotionally draining. And today, I just felt like we needed a little bit of a break, and so I want to take a lighthearted look at a somewhat serious subject, but I want to take a look at the subject of judging others in a lighthearted manner. Okay? To do so, I want to turn to two gospel readings today. The first one from Matthew chapter 7, where Jesus is speaking. This is part of the Sermon on the Mount. And he very simply says, "Stop judging others, and you will not be judged." And so there's a commandment and a promise that comes along with the commandment. Stop judging others, and the promise is, then you won't be judged. Then he continues on, "For others will treat you as you treat them. Whatever measure you use in judging others, it will be used to measure how you are judged. And why worry about a speck in your friend's eye when you have a log in your own? How can you think of saying, 'Let me help you get rid of that speck in your eye,' when you can't even see past the log in your own eye? Hypocrite! First get rid of the log from your own eye, then perhaps you will see well enough to deal with the speck in your friend's eye." Stop judging others. I brought a different Bible today. This is the Life Application Study Bible. I thought perhaps by reading this and informing you that this study Bible, like many study Bibles, has notes and explanations in it, perhaps that would spur someone on to get their own study Bible. And so their commentary about this passage says this: Jesus tells us to examine our own motives and conduct instead of judging others. The traits that bother us in others are often the habits that we have ourselves. Our bad habits and behavior patterns are the very ones that we most want to change in others. Do you find it easy to magnify others' faults while excusing your own? If you are ready to criticize someone, first check to see if you deserve the same criticism. Judge yourself first, and then lovingly forgive and help your neighbor. I thought that was good commentary on this passage. In the Gospel of St. John, in chapter 8, we find this story. Jesus returned to the Mount of Olives, but early the next morning he was back again at the temple. A crowd soon gathered, and he sat down and taught them. And as he was speaking, the teachers of religious law and the Pharisees brought a woman that they had caught in the very act of adultery, and they put her in front of the crowd. "Teacher," they said to Jesus, "this woman was caught in the very act of adultery. The law of Moses says to stone her. What do you say?" They were trying to trap him into saying something they could use against him, but Jesus stooped down and wrote in the dust with his finger. They kept demanding an answer, and so he stood up again and he said, "All right, stone her. But let those who have never sinned throw the first stones." And then he stooped down again and wrote in the dust. When the accusers heard this, they slipped away one by one, beginning with the oldest, until only Jesus was left in the middle of the crowd with the woman. Then Jesus stood up again and said to her, "Where are your accusers? Didn't even one of them condemn you?" "No, Lord," she said. And Jesus said, "Neither do I. Go and sin no more." Little commentary at the end of this passage from this Bible says, Jesus didn't condemn the woman accused of adultery, but neither did he ignore or condone her sin. He told her to leave her life of sin. Jesus stands ready to forgive any sin in your life, but confession and repentance mean a change of heart. With God's help, we can accept Christ's forgiveness and stop our wrongdoing. I thought that was a good caution to that passage. Would you pray with me? Our Heavenly Father, this then is your word. the very Word of God. Help me, O Lord, to unpack it in such a way that we will learn the truth, and that because we have learned the truth, we will be more and more like Jesus. For that is our goal, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. In this passage of Scripture, the one we just read from John, Jesus is practicing what he preaches. In the Gospel of Matthew, in the 7th chapter, he did the preaching. And in chapter 8 of John, he does the practicing. He practiced what he preached. I read these words and I kind of shudder, because it's very easy for me and for you too, I suppose, to do the very thing that Jesus told us not to do. Very easy to do. There's two reasons why. One's historical and the other is more contemporary in nature. The historical reason that it's so easy for us to judge is that biologists tell us it's in our DNA. For at one time, as humans evolved, and we're going back hundreds of thousands of years now, making a quick judgment about someone who might be approaching you, who you didn't know, oftentimes meant the difference between life and death. And biologists will tell us that this is one of the reasons that you and I as human beings are prone to quickly judge other folks. It's just natural. It's a natural state that we've accumulated as being humans. It's in our DNA. It's in our genes to quickly judge others. And it goes a long way back. But there's something that's unique in human history going on nowadays because of social media. Social media is turning us into a nation of judgers. Did you know that? We are encouraged to be judgers in the day and age we live in today because of Twitter and news feeds and all the social media. You'll see something like this every day. When I turned on my phone this morning and looked at something, here was an article about how MSNBC's Brian Williams, you all remember Brian Williams from the news, he confuses Trump with Obama, and it says, the headline is, Internet Reacts. And he was giving a news report, and instead of saying President Trump, because for all those 8 years he said President Obama, he said President Obama. It was just this honest mistake, right? Well, this whole article points out what a terrible mistake that was, and how it says that he was the trending topic on Twitter Saturday after making this mistake. And it goes on to say down here, he was lambasted on social media for this flub. He reportedly corrected his error, but social media had a field day. And if you scroll down here, you can see all the comments from people all over America who were saying everything from, he's an idiot, and he should be fired, and you know what's going on in America today? We are being encouraged to be a nation of judgers of other people. Thus the need for you and I as Christians to be reminded about this important subject, about not judging. And so I go back to say again, I shudder when I read the words of Jesus, because it's so easy to do what he said not to do. And despite the fact that I oftentimes try my hardest not to judge other people, there are times when I just fall into it. I'll look at the behavior of some other person and I will just automatically, my mind just goes there to have negative feelings toward that other person or form opinions or even act it out. It's so easy for us to do that. And so it's necessary for us to have a reminder about this every once in a while. There's some good reasons not to judge, and I want to go over three of them today. And the first one is, the first reason that we shouldn't judge is that although first impressions are sometimes true, first impressions are not always true. I know there's some of us who feel like I've got the gift of first impressions. My first impressions are always true. Researchers out of Princeton University have found that people make judgments about such things as trustworthiness, competence, and likability within a fraction of a second after seeing someone's face. But in the same article, they caution, the link between facial features and character is tenuous at best, but that doesn't stop our minds from sizing up other people at a glance. And you know, we feel like we have this first impression thing that, oh, my first impressions are pretty good, you know. And it happens every once in a while, which reinforces the idea that we're really good at it. And as life goes on, we think as time goes on that we've accumulated the ability to perfectly size up any situation immediately. That's not always true. I have a story. A lady went grocery shopping in California not long ago, an elderly woman. She comes out of the grocery store, she's pushing her cart along to her car, and as she gets close to her car, she sees four guys getting in her car, okay? They're getting in the car. Well, this lady's got a concealed carry license, and she's got a pistol in her purse just for such occasions, and she puts down her grocery cart, and she reaches into her purse, and she pulls out that pistol, and she goes and stands in front of her car, and she gets in her shooting stance, and she says, "You guys, get out of my car right now!" She's a mad woman. She looks crazy. They see this, and guess what they did? They climbed out of that car as quickly as they could. They took off running across the parking lot. Well, she thinks, you know, she puts her gun back in her purse. She collects her thoughts, and she takes the groceries and puts them in the back seat of the car. And she gets in the front seat of the car, and she takes a few breaths and tries to calm down a little bit. And okay, I'm going to go home now. And puts her key in the ignition and tries to turn it. Guess what? Didn't turn on, and she starts to look around, and she quickly realizes that this isn't her car. Her car's three cars down in the same row. So she gets out of the car. She looks for those guys. They're gone. She can't see them anywhere. She gets out of her car, puts the groceries back in the cart, takes them down to her car, gets in her car, starts to drive home, gets about halfway home and decides, you know what, I need to go to the police station and let them know what's going on. So she goes back to the police station, she goes into the desk, and the cop who she starts talking to tells him this story, begins to laugh and fall off his chair laughing as he points down at the other end of the table there, the counter, where there's four preachers who had just come back from lunch telling the story about how they've been accosted by a mad woman with a gun. Things are not always as they seem. It's a good reason not to judge. First impressions aren't always true. But there's probably been times in all of our lives when we, through a first impression, have judged another person, thought bad things about them, sized them up, and whatnot. And Jesus says if we don't judge, we will avoid embarrassing situations like that one. There's another good reason, very much related to that one, about why it's a good thing not to judge others, and that's because we don't always know the facts about another person or their situation. Does that make sense? We don't always know the facts about another person or situation, and therefore we shouldn't judge others. There's a true story about... See you guys. There's a true story about out in Harvard, actually. This happened at Harvard University some years back when a woman in an old-looking gingham dress and a fella, her husband, in a threadbare suit walk into an office, the president's office at Harvard University. And they asked to see the president. And the secretary of the president looks these people over and decides that these country bumpkins don't have any business talking to the president of Harvard University, especially since they didn't even make an appointment to see him. So she says, well, he's busy. He'll be busy all morning. And the woman says, well, we have a lot of time today. We'll just sit down. We'll wait. So they go and they sit down in a waiting room and they're waiting. Comes lunchtime, like 3 or 4 hours later, and the president gets up and he comes through there real quick without even noticing them. And the secretary didn't say those people have been waiting. He goes out to lunch for an hour and a half and he comes back from lunch. The people are still sitting there. So the secretary decides, I guess I'm going to have to tell him about President, you know, we've got these people been waiting all morning to see you. Maybe you need to go talk to them. So rather than invite them into his office, he just goes and stands where they are. And they stand up and he says, how can I help you today? And they said, well, we had a son who went to Harvard here. And he loved his experience. Last year, he was tragically killed in an accident. And we've come here because we'd like to build a memorial in his name. And the president kind of thinks to himself, oh my gosh. And he says, you know, if we were building a memorial to everybody that went to Harvard and died, it'd look like a cemetery around here. And you know, and says, there's no way we're going to do that. And then the woman says, well, I'm sorry, I spoke incorrectly. It's not that we want to build a statue to our son. We wanted to give Harvard a building. And the guy just rolls his eyes and says, a building? How could you ever give a building? Well, we have $10 million worth of buildings here at Harvard. And they were quiet for a moment. The president thought, well, maybe they're going to leave now. And then the woman finally said, is that all it takes to create a university? And she looks at her husband. She says, why don't we just go create our own? And they turned and they walked out. And the president of Harvard was horrified to learn later that he watched Mr. and Mrs. Leland Stanford leave Harvard University. And a month later, they went to Palo Alto, California, and founded the university that still bears their name today, the Stanfords. And there's an old adage there. I think one of the kids said it a while ago. Do anybody here remember it? Don't judge a book by its cover. Because the truth of the matter is, sometimes our first impressions are wrong. Many times they are. And secondly, we don't know the facts and the truth behind any particular situation that we might be judging. We might assume we know exactly what's going on in that other person's life, but we don't know. And so Jesus says, if we won't judge, then we'll avoid embarrassing situations like the president of Harvard endured. Thirdly, we shouldn't judge because Jesus says that the way we judge will come back to haunt us. And that can happen as individuals, and it can happen as a church. Tell a little story about how it can come back to haunt you as an individual. There was a lady by the name of Sarah who was the unofficial keeper of the church's morals, the particular church she belonged to. She was like the morality police in that church, and she was also a terrible gossip. And she didn't mind sharing all kinds of negative things and making judgments about other people. And the people in the church didn't care for the way she acted, but they were also afraid of her, that they wouldn't say anything to her about it because they felt like they would be judged in a bad way, you know. So that's kind of the situation that was going on between Sarah and this particular congregation. And one day, Sarah noticed, I think his name was George, and George's car was parked at the local saloon one Saturday afternoon and evening, and the next Sunday morning when she got to church, she would tell anybody who listened about how George must certainly be an alcoholic, because after all, his car was seen parked outside that bar all Saturday afternoon and evening. And she didn't mind telling George when she finally came up to him that, George, I saw your car out front of the bar, you know, and he didn't deny it, he didn't try to explain it, he didn't say a word. But later that evening, he drove his pickup truck over in front of Sarah's house and parked it out front and got out of it and walked home and left it there all night. So Jesus says the way you judge is going to come back to haunt you, so it's best not to judge other people. It's also best not to do that. It can get a congregation in trouble too. Judgments by one person can put a whole church or a whole congregation in peril. I'm thinking of the story about Mohandas Gandhi. Mohandas Gandhi was the Martin Luther King of the country of India, you know. He was the champion of people's rights in India, where there was a terrible caste system in place in India. And he was doing all he could do in a peaceful, nonviolent, he was known for nonviolent manner in order to bring down the caste system in the country of India. Not many people know this, but Mohandas Gandhi was very interested in Christianity. You know, the country was under British rule at the time. And there were a number of Anglican churches that had sprung up in India. And he had heard about the Bible and decided that he would read the Gospels for himself. And Gandhi read the four Gospels and was so taken with the picture of Jesus that he decided to become a Christian. And so he went to one of these Anglican churches with the idea that he was going to participate in a worship service. And when the worship service was over, he was going to talk to the preacher, if he could, and find out what it took to become a Christian. Well, when Gandhi came in the door, one of the greeters said to him, why don't you go worship with your own kind? And Gandhi left. And later on, he wrote in a book that he had wanted to become a Christian, but if Christians have castes like Hindus, he said, I might as well remain a Hindu. Because one person judged a book by its cover. Perhaps, I mean, can you imagine the influence that Mohandas Gandhi would have had upon his people if he would have gave his heart to Christ? So all this boils down to is we just need to leave the judging to the only one who's rightfully able to judge, right? And that's what Jesus is trying to get across in this humorous allusion where he says, is there anybody out there who would really dare say you could remove the speck from a brother or sister's eye when you got this huge log sticking out? It's supposed to be a humorous allusion to make an obvious point that none of us are in a position where we can judge someone else. Because you and I are infected with sin. And because we are, there's none of us who have the right to judge anyone else. Only God is the rightful one who can judge. He's the one whose first impressions are always true. He's the one that knows the truth about any situation. He's the one who knows everything about us. And that's a frightening thought, isn't it? Every one of us in this room have dirty little secrets that we hope that nobody's going to find out. But there's somebody who knows all about them. He's the Lord Jesus Christ. And the good news is about that is that because He's a God of grace, He knows all of our dirty little secrets. And He loves us anyway. Jesus said, I didn't come into the world to judge the world. I came to save the world. Thank you, Jesus. There's a crystal, a form of crystal called Labrador spar. At first glance, it's kind of dull looking, has no luster at all. But if you turn it around and round until the light hits it in a certain way, it suddenly breaks forth with beautiful color if you look at it in just a certain way. Ralph Waldo Emerson once wrote, a man is like a bit of Labrador spar, which has no luster as you turn it in your hand until you come to a particular angle and then it shows deep and beautiful colors. People are like that. We're like that. And other people are like that. And our job is not to judge people, but to do all we can to look for the beauty in them. Because eventually, you know, you turn, you know what I mean? It's so easy to look at others in a negative light. But like this Labrador spar, if you turn it and if you continue to examine it, you're going to eventually find the good, and that's the way we're to look at other people. Because that's the way that God looks at us. There was a wonderful movie back in 1987. It's called Iron Weed. One word, Iron Weed. It stars Jack Nicholson and Meryl Streep, who are playing a couple of vagrants back in the 1920s. And as vagrants, they're walking along, and they come across an old Eskimo woman who's lying in the snow drunk. And they start a conversation. Both of them are pretty much sloshed themselves. And they start a conversation about what to do with this woman that they found in the snow, drunk. And Jack Nicholson asks the question, well, is she a drunk or is she a bum? And Meryl Streep, who's known this Eskimo woman for many years, says, she's a bum. She's been one all her life. And Nicholson, who doesn't know this woman, says, well, she's not been a bum all her life, has she? What was she before she was a bum? And Meryl Streep said, she was a prostitute. And Nicholson said, well, what was she before that? And Meryl Streep says, well, I don't know. I guess she was a kid. And Jack Nicholson says, well, a kid's something. A kid has value. Let's take her in. And they take her in. The two vagrants were looking at the Eskimo woman lying in the snow through the lenses of grace, you see. Where society or you or I might have seen a drunk or a bum or a prostitute, through the lenses of grace they saw a little kid created in the image of God, you see. No matter how defaced that image might have become. And that's how we want other people to treat us. And that's how we need to treat other people. Do not judge, lest you be judged. That's the word of the Lord for today. A reminder that each and every one of us needs. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you for the grace that you've showered upon us through our faith in Christ Jesus. For when you look upon us, you know all our secrets. You know our hearts. And yet, through the blood of Christ, we are forgiven. You love us. And you love us so much that you can forgive when we make misjudgments, and we can become better people because of who you are and your call upon our lives. And so we confess to you now, our Heavenly Father, that we are at times guilty of judging others, forming negative opinions, or even acting in negative ways toward others. Forgive us and help us, after hearing this message, to think about it some more throughout this day, and help us on the path to becoming more and more like the one who loves us, forgives us, and doesn't judge us. That is the Lord Jesus. Thank you for his grace at work in our lives. In his name, amen.